Dearest, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Father, we have gathered together in this evening with thy word before us and a joy that fills our hearts whenever we are with thy word in front of us. And we pray, Lord, that our coming together would not be in vain, but that our hearts would be ready to receive what thou, O Lord, will have for us, that our thoughts would be centered around thy word, or else our coming together will do us no benefit. And so, Lord, we look to thee that thou would help us to focus upon thy word and upon thy will, that we would grow in grace and in favor with thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's meditation, with God's help, let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. And I desire to just read verses 16 and 17. Ljubazno želim da se pročita iz Rimljanima prva glava, 16. i 17. broj. Actually, we can start at verse 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer.
Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, truly it is with joy that we are here in thy house in this evening hour. Thankful that we have this opportunity in the middle of this week, Lord, to take a break from the responsibilities of life that we have and to assemble with ourselves together here in thy house, Lord, to read from thy word and to take the time to meditate upon thy word. Father, we find this refreshing. We find, Lord, that it invigorates our spirit. And we thank thee, O God, that we have this opportunity to read in thy word and to, Lord, take this time, Lord, to speak on it and to think upon it and to share this worship service together unto thy most high and holy name. So we give thee thanks for this. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that in all aspects, Father, how thou dost bless us. Father, we are so thankful for everything. We are thankful for health and for every means that thou hast given unto us, Lord, that we could be gathered together. Father, we know that all things are into thy hands, and we have done no great thing of ourselves, Lord, where we can say that we have done this great thing and we deserve, Father, whatever we have, Father, but we know that all the blessings of life we have come from thee, and that thou art a good God and gracious and loves to give unto us thy many gifts from thy treasure house. And so, Father, blessed be thy name. We give thee honor and we give thee glory. Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name, Lord, give glory. And we long to do that and long to praise thee and to worship thee for who thou art. Father, thy word tells us that we should worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that is our desire in this evening hour as we've assembled, Father, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, we just pray thee, Lord, that thou'lt bless each and every one that is gathered here. Father, work thou in our hearts, each and every one. Father, grant unto us this grace, Lord, that we might just be able to focus on thy word, focus on what thy spirit is speaking to us, and that we would just have this ability to keep our attention upon this thy word. Father, there are many things that would compete for our attention, Father, but grant unto us this gift that in this evening hour we might have this ability to have our focus and our attention on this thy word, that thy spirit would truly speak to us. Father, we thank thee, Lord, that we have this word and that it touches our hearts and it touches our lives. We thank thee, O God, and we testify to that, Father, that we as recipients of thy word are touched by thy word. And it moves our spirit and it feeds us, O Father, and we are thankful for all these things. And Father, we are thankful that we have also among us who have made a beginning in serving thee, Father, who have turned their backs to this world and have a desire to give unto thee their very hearts. And so, Father, that as they have grace from thee, that they would repent from their sins and that they would give their heart and their lives over unto thee, and that their affection and all that is within them might be all directed toward thee. And Father, we know that thou art well pleased with that. And Father, we have read a portion of Scripture in this evening hour where we can see that the just live by faith. And so, Father, we as believers and those are beginners that are among us, Father, we know that we can be justified and we can grow in thee and we can have that peace with thee when we grow in this faith in thee. So help us, Lord, that our convictions in thee might be sincere and that they might be strong, and that no man or no circumstance in this life would drive us away from this conviction and this faith that we have in thee, the living God. And so we just pray thee, Lord. Father, help us each and every one. Father, we all have issues of life, Lord, some very dire and some not so dire, but yet weighty upon each and every one of us, Father. We just pray that thou wouldst help us in these circumstances of life that we find ourselves in. Help us each and every one. And so, Father, we just pray thee that us as a group of believers might be found faithful, trusting in thee throughout all circumstances of life, and that we would wait upon thee, and that thou wouldst bless us according to our faith. And so, Father, there are those that are not among us, Father, Lord, who would like to be among us but are not able to. We pray for them. Father, we pray for all faithful believers, wherever they might be across the broad face of this earth. Father, grant unto them steadfastness and the ability to overcome the wicked one, the enemy of their soul. And grant unto us, Lord, an abiding faith in thee, Lord, that we might have that peace in our hearts and that eternally. And so we just pray thee once again, Father, be thou lifted up, be thou glorified. Lord, may in our hearts and our minds we love thee and we show that we reverence thee and glorify thee in all ways of our lives. And so we just pray now that thou wouldst give unto our brother the utterance of the things that are on his heart and on his spirit, Lord, as the Holy Spirit directs those thoughts and those words, Lord, that once again we all might be edified and the believer, Lord, strengthened in his faith, and those that know thee not, that they would be called unto a life of faithfulness unto thee. Abide thou with us, one and all. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.
The Apostle Paul had a great desire to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Rome. As he wrote this letter, he has not been to Rome yet. He hasn't preached there yet, but he has a great desire to. And we think of what Rome was then, we have to consider that it was a city that was the capital of the world. It was very affluent. It had everything that the flesh would desire. And it is here that Paul had a burning desire to come and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that Paul, when he had preached in Jerusalem, which was the religious capital of the world, that he was mobbed there. He preached in Athens, which was the intellectual capital of the world, and he was mocked, ridiculed. of this gospel which was being brought forth. So that's what religious men did. They mobbed him when he brought forth Jesus Christ. Think about this. To a religious city, a religious capital, he brings out the faith, and they mob him. To the city that is is so full of itself in its intellect and its knowledge, that when Paul, he didn't hesitate not to bring the gospel. He says, I'm going to preach to you. I'm going to tell you about this God that you don't know. And they mocked him there because it didn't line up with their knowledge and with their intellect and what they knew. And he came to, later he comes to Rome, which is the, what could we call it, the judicial capital of the world. It was Rome, and he preached the gospel there, and they martyred. He was martyred there. That's where he lost his life. The burning desire that he had everywhere he went was still the same, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's no wonder that Paul had this desire, this interest that he had to preach, because he tells us what the gospel is. He says, I'm not ashamed. Why would he be ashamed? But he's not ashamed. He says, I'm not ashamed because the gospel to be brought into a city such as Rome, he says, I'm not ashamed. Though it is, Rome is what it is, I'm not ashamed to bring the gospel there. It would have been perhaps a lot easier to take it to a countryside, to take it to where men are of simple means and where they could even acknowledge a belief in God more readily and so on. But his desire was to go to Rome. And despite the fact of what Rome was, he had this desire to preach there. And he wasn't ashamed, though most men would consider it a shame to go and to preach of Jesus Christ and the simplicity that is found in him and his teachings and that he had brought forth. The people would mock it, and they did more than mock him. They put him to death. But Paul had that desire, and he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? He said, it is the power of God unto salvation. And he qualifies that to everyone that believeth. And so, brothers and sisters and dear friends, if we are powerless, it is not on God. If we are powerless over sin, if we are powerless over self, if we cannot love God more than we love ourselves, it is not on God's part that he doesn't supply us that power. Because a lot of times what we do as believers, when we find ourselves falling into sin, we cry unto God and we pray unto him. And Lord, help me. And Lord, help me. And I'm weak, and we cry and we shed tears and so on. But we do nothing to resist the devil. There's no power in that. So we want God to do everything, but we want to still indulge in anything. We don't have the desire to overcome self. Why? Because we love ourselves more than we love God. And so in that loss of power, it has to stem from one thing only, that we don't believe. We say, well, surely we believe. No, we don't believe. Because a belief, a faith in God will bring about a love for God. That is the only way that our love for our Lord can increase, is by our faith in him. And so let's ask ourselves, what I believe the brother mentioned in the prayer something along the lines that God gives us blessings according to the measure of our faith. And those blessings are not going to be blessings such as we know, which was thanked for in the prayer, because we do receive all the goodness from God, our health and our daily sustenance, and those are all blessings that come from God. But those aren't given to us because of our faith, because He gives that also to those who are of unbelief. And so the blessings from God that come from our faith are found right here in Paul's description of what it is. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And it unto salvation to all who believe. So our faith is rewarded with power. Power to love and to overcome self and sin. And so, dear ones, we many times will fight against sin, resist the devil, but we want to do it without even prayer. We want to do it in the way that we know how. We're going to resist this temptation and so on. We're going to exhibit our own strength, and we find ourselves falling rapidly. The key that James gives is that we would submit unto God. We have to consider ourselves how we are when we are in a submission unto God. That means His law is life to me. That means that I love His law. If there is anything, dear ones, if there is anything in my life that I will not overcome, I don't want to. What that is an absolute resistance against God and His law. It is an acknowledgement in my own heart that God's law is not good. And I know that none of us think that. None of us will think that, but we have to acknowledge that's what it really is. Because if I cannot, refuse to, will not be an overcomer through my faith in Christ, which gives me my love for Him, which gives me my disdain for anything that pleases the flesh, then it is because I am resisting His law. His law is not what it should be to me. It's not desirous. I don't love His law. If I don't love His law, I don't love Him. And so it's no wonder then that I lack in faith and lack in the power of unto salvation that God gives through nothing other than His gospel. He says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. How is this done from faith to faith? The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. God has a faith in man. God believes, God knows, that man, who He has created and breathed life into, who has transgressed and broken His law, disobeyed Him, He knows that man, with His help, can still come back to Him and fulfill His law. God believes that. God knows that. So it is a faith in man that God has. Not in faith in man that, okay, you can do this. He knows we are powerless, but He knows whom He has sent and whom He has given unto us, who has died for our sins. Paul talks about us being dead to sin. Dead to sin. Not dead in sin. We were dead in sin before. We cannot be in sin and dead to it. To be dead to sin means to be that it's eradicated. It's gone. It's cleansed from our hearts and lives. So what does that actually mean to me? Can I acknowledge and say that I am dead to sin? There's willful sin. Willful sin for which there is no forgiveness for. Man who continues willfully sinning, how can God forgive? If God were to forgive man, sin that is alive and unrepented of and not dead to it, then God would not be God. He would not be holy and just. He wouldn't be who he is. God cannot, his justice cannot forgive a man his sin when he is in it. So, what does that mean? That's why there is such a thing, and the scripture speaks of restitution. If I have stolen something from you, and I say, okay, I'm never going to do that again, is that sin still alive? Absolutely. I may never steal from you again. But that sin is alive. Because I haven't given it back or made an effort to give back that which I have stolen. That's what repentance means. To give back, to correct the things that I recognize was that which broke the law, the holy and pure and just law of God. And so if just not doing something again qualifies for a change of heart, it doesn't. It doesn't. Repentance, in the sense that it comes confessed and restitution is made there where it can and needs to be made. It's to be done. Otherwise, that sin is alive. And God cannot forgive it. He cannot overlook it. And so, when God reveals himself unto us, by his faith in me, when Paul was going to bring the gospel to Rome, it was to show them that God has a way for you. And then my faith, after I hear who God is, and I know of his love for me and who he is and the power that he gives and so on, then I want him. In my faith, faith to faith, it grows now. His faith in me results in my faith to him, which gives me the power unto salvation. And so, dear ones, it says the just shall live by faith. What else can we live by? What else can we live by? For in faith, that is where everything comes through. Everything comes through faith. And God does bless those of faith. No, not with the things that my flesh would consider and deem to be a blessing. Because God says, the sun, which is a blessing from him, he shines on the just and the unjust. The rain that is so needful for the just is needed also for the unjust. And it all comes from him. And so, what are the blessings of life? Paul is preaching, he is mobbed. Paul is preaching, he is mocked. Paul is preaching, he is martyred. According to man, Paul did not live a blessed life. But Paul knew that he was blessed indeed. Because for within him lived a power that was greater than Rome could ever muster together. Within him lived a power that was greater than anything or anyone could go up against. Yes, even hell itself couldn't overcome the power that was in Paul. No, it didn't come from himself. It came from his faith that was in Jesus Christ. The faith that he had in his Lord was a faith that was blessed. It was a faith that continued to increase. A faith that caused him to realize every day where he has fallen, what he has done, where he has fallen short, and where he has trespassed against the God that he loves. In sins of omission as well as commission, he reviewed that honestly in his heart. David also called upon God. He says, "Reveal the secret things in me. Let me see those things that only you can see." Because God knows far beyond what we know, what we are capable of doing. Whether it be good or bad, we of ourselves, dear ones, have to rely upon the strength, this power that is coming from the gospel of Christ. And so why is it then that man is not attracted to this? Why would we not be attracted to that power which will give me life eternal? It promises me. God promises me something that I cannot find anywhere in this world. I can't even look for it there. You wouldn't even know where to look, to start to look, to find that which comes from God. But to receive that from God, we have to believe. And dear ones, that belief in God needs to bring forth an action. And that action is love. Dear ones, we cannot violate the law of God's, or violate the law of love and expect to be blessed by God. How is it that we violate his law of love? Well, one, it reveals that we don't believe in him. It reveals that our faith in him is not great. Because if I can violate that law, which is really the violation. Anything that we do, any sin that we sin, anything that we do, it's a violation of the law of love. Because therein, in that law, is where we will find the strength, the desire, the burning desire, the desire that Paul had to go to Rome and to preach was love living in him, demonstrated, faith being demonstrated by his love that he had for Rome and for all people in all walks of life. He didn't want to go to Rome to preach in a city that was so great, according to human and fleshly standards, that it was so wonderful and so great that this is where he wanted to go to receive accolades from man, and whoa, look at what he did. Look where he went, what he's doing. He didn't do that for that. He did it to spread the gospel in a place that would be considered shameful to go and to preach Jesus to. And so, dear ones, we have to ask ourselves, are we shameful to receive this gospel? Paul, I don't know if Paul ever mentioned anywhere this phrase. I didn't research it or look at it. He says, "I'm not ashamed." He has to actually say that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Not because there was a question in his mind, but because he knew that to preach in Rome would be considered shameful. And he had every desire to do so. And so what is our desire to receive the gospel, to receive Jesus Christ in our heart and our life, to demonstrate love in action through our life and how we live and how we will reject and not do the things that the world would consider a way of life, something that they would frown upon us by looking at the standards that God has set for our life, not that we have set, but the ones that God has set for us. Are there instances in our lives where we can say we are ashamed of the gospel? The just shall live by faith. I can't live by any other way. Faith is the beginning of a life in Christ. And so, dear ones, we have to consider what it is in our own lives that we can identify as that which is holding me back from this power. The power of God unto salvation. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Wherein? The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel and in us then. We are made righteous through our faith. That is our justification, our faith. And in our faith, in our belief, in our active faith, a living faith that is in Christ, dear ones, we then also receive His righteousness. That means we are right with God. To be righteous is to be right with God. Can we be called, can I identify myself today as right with God? And so, dear ones, as we think of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to look at the life that He has, the law that He came to amplify, to show us exactly what that means when He says, "Thou shalt not kill," or "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When he showed what it means to have a servant heart, when He washed the disciples' feet, when He showed anyone who will be a servant of His must have this heart that He had. Those are all the things that our Lord has revealed to us. And we can read and look into the life of Jesus. And we can know how He lived. And we can love Him for how He lived and what He did for us. In ways that we think we love Him. As I mentioned, I think recently, just if we cry when we read the story of the crucifixion of Christ, that does not identify me as loving Him. Not at all. My identification to my love for Him, He said, is to keep my commandments. I can only keep His commandments by believing in Him, which produces a love for Him, which produces an obedience to Him. It's complete. The just will live by faith. May God give unto us, dear ones, if we desire to have this, it's ours. God gives it freely. It's ours. God, we would love for God to force us not to be able to sin. That's what we want. But then God wouldn't be God, because He would violate that which He gave us, a will. Love Him or love yourself. That's the choice. That's the choice. And so God gives us His power freely to those who believe, those who love, and those who obey. As we look into our lives, as we consider where we are, am I right with God? As we consider these things, dear ones, and we desire to have this faith, the faith that Abraham of old had, the faith of the apostles. If we want our faith to increase in that manner, then we have to separate ourselves from the fashion of this world, the business of this world, the politics of this world. We have to separate from all of those things because Christ is found in none of those things. He's found nowhere there. Where is he found? He's found on our knees. When he reveals himself and who he is, and when we have a belief and a desire to serve him, he will come into our hearts and empower us. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
Power. One of the most abused things that man has abused, misunderstood, and not used properly. But the Bible here says that the power of God is unto salvation. That's where the power of God lies. The power of man is abused, but the power of God lies in salvation, and that is given. Is a subset of the gospel of Christ. So the gospel of Christ is that power of God unto salvation. And the words that Jesus Christ said just before he ascended, the last words that he has for his disciples,
He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." We receive God's power in the form of the Holy Ghost. So we don't go forth in our own power. In our own power, we are weak. In our own power, we are abusive. But when we go in the power of the Holy Ghost, we can go forth in that power unto salvation, the power of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ says this, and he says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so here it was that the Apostle Paul, endued with power from the Holy Ghost, was preaching the gospel of Christ in Rome, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is where he was bringing the gospel message, that is the power of God unto salvation. No different for us today in this time that we live in. No different. We can only go forth in the power of God when we are in the Holy Ghost and His power is displayed in us. Not our power, His power of the Holy Ghost is displayed in us. And we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Through Jesus Christ we can have salvation. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we will have salvation. A simple message, yet has profound truth. May we go forth in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.